Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It is Sam and Greg. Good morning, Georgia.
Morning.
Just about a minute or so past 7 a.m. We're here 6 a.m. to 10 every Sunday morning. You can check us out on the radio.com app, too. Coming up later on this hour, we're going to talk to Karen Pestana as we talk about the U.S. Open, everything that's going on with that, and the sort of watered-down version of it. But, listen, it's up and running. And actually, I was thinking of you earlier this week, Sam, because both you and I, neither of us got to do the one thing that we look forward to, and it's a special event, and it's yours is Monday at the U.S. Open. Being there for that event, if I'm not mistaken, that's the one place you'd like to be.
Yep, love to be there on Monday.
Couldn't be there out at the Tahoe thing this year, but Karen will give us an update on what's going on. And again, as we take a second and talk about somebody very special to the world of high school of football, I want to mention something on this date that happened in the world of tennis, but that's coming up next. Corky Kell, high school starts football man. Bring us up on what happened this past week.
Well, this past week, really, well, we get to the games, and then we'll do a tribute to someone who's special to me and really special to high school football in the area. But we did get the chance to play games. There were games played this week, and a lot of people, didn't know we would get to this point. And as they started the games, that was my thought. If you're one of the players on these teams, you heard weeks and months ago that you were not going to get to play. And even as you started to practice, bringing your own water bottle to practice with you, bringing your backpack with whatever you needed, taking your own clothes back home with you, having your helmet sprayed down and sanitized, having your locker sprayed down, sanitized. I wrote a blog this week that's saying it looks like football, it sounds like football, but it smells like Lysol. And maybe that's why we can't find it in the stores.
Hey, you can get some of that at in Florida. I got like four bottles down. Man, no wonder that place is the way it is. When I went down there to visit Pops last week, every time I went to the store to pick up things, whether it was like a Walmart or a Publix or something like that, I got a tube of wipes. They were available.
Really?
I could not believe it in Florida, of all places. They was available every time I went to the store. I got another bottle. It was no problem.
Man, you can't find any of that stuff around here.
I know.
And maybe it's why the locker room is the cleanest room in the school, right? And they scrub that thing and whatnot. And if you think about it, boys' locker rooms in high schools, they kind of need it anyway. You usually can smell the locker room before you see it. So right these days, the boys' locker room in high school is cleaner than the teacher's lounge. But these kids went after all the scrubbing and cleaning. They got out to go and play, and some didn't get to play. I mean, that there was the Parkview game against Mill Creek we were looking for. Mill Creek had a positive test just days before the game. And so the organizers with the Corky Kell Classic were frantically trying to find another team to play Parkview. They call 8 different schools. Don't you want to play Parkview? Don't you want to play Parkview? We're going to have a game. You're going to be a part of Corky Kell. Don't you want to play? Nobody would play Parkview.
Nope.
Nobody would play these guys. So for the weekend, they went out without playing a single game. They plugged in a game, Flowery Branch against St. Pius, and St. Pius played great. And you don't see these guys. You don't see these guys on TV. But they're like, what? We're going to put on a show.
Yeah, they did. They were.
Played well. you watched some of that with
I did. Yeah, I did.
So the games were played. Certain restrictions were put into place. We saw some masks. We did see fans. I went to 2 locations. The students are not, I was finding something, the students are not going to separate. The students are just going to cluster on top of each other like they always do. And I know they announced for them to do it. And you saw, you know, the parents, you know, most of them where I went had masks. Some didn't. But they at least they spaced out a bit in the stands. And there were good crowds that showed up.
Yeah,
for the both places. When I went out to West Forsyth beat Mays 42-6. First time an APS team has played Forsyth County. Carver falls to Cherokee 38-12 in that one. A game that we thought was going to go all night. Brookwood beat Decula 40-34. Four overtimes in that one. And I'm at North Gwinnett looking at the screen, waiting for that game to end so that the North Gwinnett game could start. And when it started, it was North Gwinnett 35, McEachern 7.
Yeah, I heard, but I'm still giving him a shout-out.
Say that.
You gave it to
them your neighbors, man. You got
I did. I gave him a shout-out.
The guys your neighbors. Those guys. All right. In Battle of East Cobb County, Walton 35, Kale 28. The final in that one. St. Pius, we mentioned, got to play at Flowery Branch 38-28. St. Pius with the win in that game. So those are some of the games in the Corky Kell Kickoff Classic. Yesterday's winners were Collins Hill was the winner. Lowndes, very impressive win over Archer. They're one of the teams that we're going to watch for this season. Very strong performance by them. And Greater Atlanta Christian was the winner in their contest last night. So congratulations to all the teams that got to play in the Corky Kell Kickoff Classic. Just to get there, Greg, I mean, was an odyssey for some of them and some of the other teams around the state. Valdosta kicked off their first game with Coach Rush Probst. They trail throughout the whole game against Warner Robins, and in the last couple of minutes, they managed to pull it out. Valdosta starts the season with a win over Warner Robins. So that was great to see. Marietta, defending state champion, was a winner over Hillgrove. One defending state champion, Blessed Trinity, had some positive tests. And so they're off the field for 2 weeks. And it's just going to kind of be that way this season, right? You know, you make your schedule up. It's everybody's got a schedule. But you got to make it in pencil because you don't know when you're going to be able to erase. And it seems kind of unfair in that regard.
Right.
But that's what we decided to do and go forward with. And Dr. Robin Hines, executive director of the GHSA, was at both of the locations that I went to for Corky Kell. I had a chance to speak with him. We'll circle back with him. We'll listen this week and see, you know, what comes out of this, if they trace anything to it, if there are any infections. I think that's the next thing that people are watching to see, since we've now played games and people in the crowds and the officials are there with the officials are masked up and wearing gloves. You know, you've seen officials out there with gloves on.
Right.
So it's a different look. It was a different feel, but they were still playing games.
Hey, we got to start making friends with somebody. So one of the games I was watching, and by the way, just to make sure that, you know, because Kell was taking on Walton, right? And
Walton,
that,
yeah.
Yeah, they usually play the first, they're traditionally the first game, correct? Kell is?
Yeah, for on Saturday morning.
Right.
They play
right.
on Saturday
they're,
morning.
They're, yeah, at they're the first
stadium.
Game. Right. When everything's normal. All right, so I'm watching this game. We need to make friends with this Braylon Stokes for Walton. You see this kid? We need to make friends with him before.
Man.
Yeah, he's a sophomore, and he's running like the next step for him is going to be training camp with some NFL team. Now, of course, I'm throwing in a little hyperbole here, but he was amazing. I'm watching this kid run just crazy, and he's in for the starter. He's not even a starter. Kenny Jaha, who was out, but Braylon Stokes, 156 yards.
Yeah.
141, though, came in the second half. 141
I mean, he just
put
it
on.
I mean, some of the teams and some of the players, you know the spotlight's on them, and they go out and perform, and that's part of it. And once again, congratulations and the tip of the cap to Coach Dave Hunter and everyone who lines up the Corky Kell. They were so determined. They were so determined to have these teams play and put on a great show for the state of Georgia and celebrate the start of the high school football season. We don't know how long it's going to go, Greg.
Right.
You know, we don't know if we're
going
to get a whole season in state championship games. We don't know, but they got it started. We got them to the gate, and they started. And, you know, we'll see where it goes from here. Another set of games coming up this week.
No, I was just going to say, I wanted to start off with something positive and talking about the games. And like I said, they've been televised regularly this past week. So I was, you know, spending time. I didn't really give a you know what about what's going on with college football yet. The big games haven't started, and people are, you know, they start in these other games. So I said, let me see what's going on here locally. And they had games not only from Georgia, but they had some Alabama games. I saw some Florida games, it seemed like. But the crowd, as you said, they were not diligent in protecting themselves. There were some that were, but you could tell if, you know, the bug was around, it was going to permeate throughout that particular stadium. So we'll see what happens down the road as testing continues. But the as far as the play on the field, the kids looked like they were just, they it was like a jailbreak, and they couldn't wait to get out there and play. So
couldn't
beside,
wait to get out of the house.
Yeah, man. So beside McEachern, which you know I'm going to hang my hat on as far as high school, do I need to be paying attention to Walton this year? Do I need to deputize them as a team?
You pay attention to them every year. You need to watch for Walton. Marietta has had to reload. They went over Hill Grove. It's big that they were able to do that. So you want to watch out for them. And McEachern's young. I mean, they had to replace the quarterback. Obviously, they got talent over that way. And that's the other thing you're going to get in some of these games. You're going to get some teams that are going to be thrown out there. If they've had to stay out off the field for a couple of weeks, they're not going to be very well prepared. Right. And that's just going to be – that's just going to happen sometimes. So, I mean, that's the thing to watch for as we navigate this season. But I do want to remember somebody that we lost this week who was big for high school world, and that is Tommy Palmer, who's a friend and a colleague with GPB Sports, who was waging a battle with lung cancer, and we lost him this week. And Tommy, you know, down in Statesboro and down in Middle Georgia and South Georgia, if you go to anything with this man, you instantly know everybody, because he walks into the stadium or walks into the arena, and I had the privilege of working both football and basketball telecasts with Tommy, and it was just a conversation, the way we would do the games. But yeah, the game's going on, but we would just be having a conversation about high school football, and he'd be relating stories about coaches that he knew and players in the past at those schools. And that's the thing I enjoy. You know, I enjoy remembering those type things and documenting and being a little bit of a historian, if you will, for Georgia high school football. And to me, he was that, and just his delivery and everything was something that had been booming voice, but still very comforting, and let you know. And one thing, let you know that he was having fun. And we started a little something between he and I, you know, in recent years. We would do games. We would dress up for the games. If you're doing a game on GPB and you're in the booth or whatever, you know, state championship games, you're going to put on suit and tie. You always want to dress up suit and tie for those games. And I started wearing some different color socks. My wife and daughter gave me some of them socks like, you know, like RG3 was wearing. You know, like he was famous.
In other
for
words, they brought some style into your life.
They brought some.
that's what you're saying.
I would walk in, and Tommy's getting done because they do a little makeup for us, and they get us all ready to go. Uh-huh. He'd be doing makeup, and I said, Tommy, check them out. And I pulled my pants leg up, and you see these crazy looking socks. And he would just crack up laughing. He'd just crack up laughing. Mm-hmm. And so we would always make that a thing that would go in. And last Christmas, as a Christmas gift, I sent him a gift. He opened it up, and it was some crazy socks. I said, look, man. I said, you got to get with it. You got to get with it. So we do it. So I'm just going to call you the sock man, Sam. You the sock man. So you're going to miss him. Yeah. And the state of Georgia will miss him. But Tommy Palmer, rest in peace, my friend. We will miss you indeed. But what a legacy he leaves behind hosting the statewide scoreboard show. Yeah,
the founder and host of the Georgia High School Scoreboard Radio Show.
That's him.
That was the show. That was the show.
Throughout the state, after the games, people driving home would tune in and listen to him across the state, just relate the scores that from the games, and it's something he took so much pride and excitement in doing. And it's just kind of ironic that we would lose him right as the season begins.
Did he work by himself?
Him so much.
He worked by himself all those years. Did he have a partner, a regular partner?
With the games with GPB, but I mean, down in he would do radio show. He's done radios in different parts of the state throughout his life, but he settled in the Statesboro area, so he did radio there, and then he just started his passion for high school football and just knowing coaches. The thing you tell him, Sam, that coach down there at Bleckley County. The folks down there really love him. I think he'd be a candidate for someone. You know, he was great for that type thing. Just let you know what was coming up.
So mind me to tell you, I actually had to wear makeup for the first time this past week. Well, it's a long time.
For the first time in a long time.
I'll say.
Okay.
I'll tell you why later on. We're going to go out to Flushing, New York next. Talk about the U.S. Open. Karen Pestana, we haven't had her on since, last year. So we're going to get Karen's thoughts on what's going on up there in New York. It's Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Be sure to check us out on the radio.com app.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's Labor Day weekend. Hey, throw one on the grill for us, will you?
Happy Labor Day weekend. From Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Good morning, Georgia. It's Sam and Greg. 6 a.m.
Morning.
Sorry about that. 6 a.m. to 10 every Sunday morning. Be sure to check us out on the radio.com app and all your devices, including smart speakers. If we had one of those cameras in the studio or in our homes where you could see us doing the show, Mr. Crenshaw has got his John Thompson tribute in full effect. Sitting there in front of his on his microphone with the big white towel draped over his shoulder doing his John Thompson tribute. Not bad.
That's it. Got to do it this morning.
All right. Well, before we, as we bring our next guest on here, I want to start off with this. Today is a very significant day in the world of tennis. September 6th was the day. And as I welcome in Karen Pestana, a friend of the show, we haven't talked to her in forever, I want you to answer the significance of this move, a very, very strong statement that needed to be made, and I'm sure she took a lot of stuff for it, obviously at the time being, and worried about her health. But in 1975, on this date, Martina Navratilova came to America to play in the U.S. Open, and while here, asked for political asylum. Did not want to go back home, and this is what started her U.S. citizenship. Imagine what would the tennis world look like had she not done that. Karen, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Good morning. Yeah, wow. You know, I didn't even realize it was that anniversary today. I remember reading about her defecting at the U.S. Right. Open, but you know, I was way too young to know anything at that time.
Right. Well, no, I understand it, but we remember dates like, you know, when Arthur Ashe did some things, some significant mm-hmm. dates, but I'm thinking that this is as significant as anything because we don't get Chrissy and Martina. I mean, that rivalry carried tennis for the longest time. And by the way, that year in 75, Chris Evert won the singles. Mm-hmm. That was her first one that she had won. But just that, I don't think that's talked about enough because imagine the rivalries that carried a sport. These two played more than anybody else. You talk about, you know, 100 years of the Bears and Packers and Army, Navy, and team plays. But as far as individuals, you know, the three Ollie Frazier's, you got Magic and Larry, but 88 times. 88 times.
Yeah.
These two ladies
crazy.
Played. Yeah, exactly. So, again, I want to get your thoughts on that as we get into the U.S. Sam didn't expect me to come with that knowledge. See, I bring it every once in a while.
I know. But think about it. They played 80 some odd times. It means they were making the finals against each other every week because they were, you know, the two top-tier players there. I mean, it means every other week they were making the finals against each other or playing each other deep in a tournament. That's crazy. That's not going to be repeated. Not ever. I mean, now maybe, let me think now. When you have people like Nadal versus Djokovic or Federer or whatever, maybe they've played 30 some odd times. No one's going to get to 80 something. That's just nuts. It just shows how dominant Navratilova and Everett were. It's crazy when you think about it.
Yep, mind-boggling. Karen Pestana, Tennis Panorama News, joining us on the WaitForIt.com hotline, talking U.S. Open. What a week. And you mentioned yesterday, I think it was just the third time, Serena Williams has played Sloane Stephens, and she had to play three sets to do it. And what does it mean to see not her just win this match, but to win it in three sets at this stage of the tournament, Karen?
Well, Serena started off slowly, you know. The first set, Sloane had her running side to side, back and forth, and Serena she was having some problems with the first serve, but that second set, 2-2, Serena was saving break points, and from then on, she just, her serve was in queue, as it were, and she just ran off in 10 of the next 12 games to stop Sloane Stephens. And I think this win, though, comeback win, gives her some confidence, more confidence, especially going into the next match, because she's playing a woman, Maria Sakkari from Greece. less than 2 weeks ago at the quote-unquote Cincinnati tournament at the U.S. Open, because they put the USTA put two tournaments in the U.S. Open bubble. Now, less than 2 weeks ago, Serena Williams was up a set and serving for the match at 5-3, I think it was, against Sakkari, and the wheels just fell off. She couldn't close out the set. They get to a tiebreak. She's leading 4-1, and she just could not close her out. And then the next set, in the third set, it looked like she ran out of gas, and Sakkari just took the final set. I think it was 6-1. So this is a big match coming up for Serena, because she's got to exercise those demons from that match that she had less than 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. We'll see what happens. I think she's in gear, but this is going to be tough. It's going to be tough.
Cara Pestana joining Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. I want to ask you about two people, Serena being one, but also Naomi Osaka. How do they look right now as you look at them in comparing to past tournaments? I'm actually going to leave the pandemic out of your assessment, because I figure if they're there, it's not affecting them, and they're in shape and they're ready to go. But the way you've looked at them in past tournaments when they've gotten to the fourth round, those are the two that we're keeping our eye on. Let's start with Serena. How does she look to you overall? Like, she came back against Sloane Stephens, and she got the game. You feel like can get her to the finals?
I think so. I think a lot of it, I mean, in some way is mental. I mean, she's trying to get that 24th major, you know, she has the target on her back, you know, people don't seem to be as afraid of playing her. Of course they are. I mean, Serena, but now, you know, this is history she's going. I mean, not that it's not historic anyway. She has the most majors in the open era without question. And she's essentially the greatest women's player ever. But still, she wants that 24. And as far as her play, I think if she gets her first serve in gear, like she did in the last two sets yesterday, and anticipates better and moves, I think she's all right. As far as Osaka, okay. Osaka, I think, in my personal opinion, looks better, even though she's dealing with a little bit of a hamstring injury. She is moving decently, and when her head is in the game, because sometimes it's not, she's just dominant and just moves people off around the court. But I don't know. If I had to pick between the two in terms of winning the tournament, I guess depending – see, the thing that's bothering me about Osaka is that injury that she has. But if I'm picking mentally at this point, I guess I'm going with Osaka. I hate to make predictions. If they both get there, you know, it's a big if they both get there. This tournament on the women's side, a lot of seeds have been knocked out, and including the top seed. So you just never know. You never know. But to me, I mean, if they headed back to a final, I mean, it would be a really great final. And for Serena, can she get revenge, I guess, on beating Osaka from a few years ago? So, you know, we'll see. That's what tennis. You can only beat who's in front of you, and you never know who's going to win.
Spending time with Cara Pestana, Tennis Panorama News here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. It's been kind of like a bit of a happy returns if you talk about, you know, Serena and her daughter watching on yesterday. Another mom is still in the field, you know, Victoria Azarenka. Kim Clijsters played this week.
Yeah.
She's 37. She's got three kids, and she was back out there. I mean, so the moms have been well represented at U.S. Open this week.
Oh, yeah, and there's a fourth mom another mom that's in the tournament who's from Bulgaria. She hasn't played on the tour in 3 years, a woman named Svetlana Peronkova. she also has a three-year-old. And what's so funny is that all the moms are in the same half of the draw. Williams, Azarenka, and Paragolis. Yeah, as I said yesterday, with all the moms women winning, it was Mother's Day at the U.S. Open.
But let me ask you guys a question about that. I'm sorry to interrupt you, Karen, but let me ask you, aren't you guys surprised at that? We have watched sport after sport have players opt out because they have families. They don't want to go test the waters with this pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
And yet you're sitting here naming off, you named off a good four mothers that are participating, mm-hmm. and that's not a story to you two guys?
Well, I mean, yeah, I know there are a lot of people opting out because of COVID concerns and all that. It is surprising. I personally would be doing it if I were in that position. However, I guess they feel that they're in a bubble enough that they feel safe. And Serena, she's not staying at the bubble hotel, so to speak. She's rented a house. So yeah. She's there with her husband and daughter and whoever. So she's not with the rest of them. I don't know about Azarenka and Paragolis and Gold Clijsters at one point owned a house in the tri-state area of New York. I don't know if she still does. So that could be part of it. That could be part of it. They're in their own homes and not in one of the hotel bubbles set
yeah,
up in the U.S. Open.
And that's what happens when you're at the top of the food chain. The guy on the men's side, who's also got money like that too, rented his $40,000 for the entire time. He spent $40,000 to rent his house. I'm talking about Djokovic. By the way, is it his tournament to lose on the men's side?
Yes, without question. No one is going to be touching Djokovic. Nobody. I mean, the only person that can beat Djokovic is himself, and I don't think that's going to happen. He's just, even if everybody that was in the field or there, like Nadal, Federer, and everybody else who didn't show up, it would still be his tournament to lose. I really believe that. He hasn't lost all year. He's been perfect. He hasn't lost since, I think it was November of last year. I mean, I don't see anyone beating him. He's the only man left in the draw that's actually won a major, actually. And he's the oldest man in the draw at 33, which is kind of funny to think. I mean, that
wow. That alone, one thing we do have, Karen, one thing we do have we're not accustomed to having, we got an American men's player playing into the second week.
Yes, the last American man standing, Francis Tiafoe. And he's got a big test in his next match, and that would be last year's finalist, Daniil Medvedev. But TFO's in his news conference yesterday, he said it was pretty positive going into the match. You know, everyone gives themselves a chance in this, and you never know. You never know. And with the courts being a bit faster than normal, than last year anyway, at the U.S. Open, you never know. It may work to his advantage. We'll see. We'll see, because the U.S. Open, you just never know. I mean, the men have been holding pretty much to form, with some exceptions, but you never know. We'll see.
Karen, we're up against it. What are you looking forward to this the second week?
Oh, the second week, I want to see how how Serena, Osaka do. I'm looking at those two because, like I said, I really think Djokovic is just going to run through the field next week for the men. So the women are the more exciting ones to watch at this point, because you just never know with them.
And how have you been doing during all this? Everybody good with you and your family?
Yeah, we're all right. We're kind of like in the heart of the zone, so to speak, even though our numbers are totally low now. But it's really weird. This is the first time since I was a little kid that I haven't been on the grounds of the U.S. Open, whether it is as a fan or media. So it's very bizarre for me to be at home covering the tournament and doing Zoom news conferences and things like that. So it's very bizarre.
Well, we thank you for spending some time with us this morning and bringing us up to speed on everything that's happening there. A lot going on, and it could be a lot of suspense and drama in this coming week. But, Karen, we thank you for getting up, spending some time with us. Enjoy the rest of your Labor Day weekend.
Thanks a bunch. Take care, guys.
All right, stay safe, Karen. Yeah, man, listen, you can argue that is one of the most significant rivalries and one of the most untouchable records in sports, not just American sports, in period. That 88-match streak between Chrissy and Martina and how it saved that sport moving forward. So just want to throw that knowledge out
there. Yeah. Could never do it now. They don't play that many tournaments.
Exactly.
You don't play that many tournaments.
Add that to the list of unbreakable records. Put it up there.
Yeah.
Sam, next. We got off to a slow start, but we're back up and running.
What
it's
we got?
Because we got. It's all because of him. We're gonna meet the producer up next.
all right.
I got some other things for you too, but that is up next. It's Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, and be sure to check us out on the radio.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Good morning, Georgia. See, this is what I do. I wait for Sam's response. And we'll try again. Good morning, Georgia. Well, now we're having that problem. Dylan, be ready to come on here. Mr. Crenshaw has, we got an issue with it. But this has been this morning. There's been like this roach in our technology all morning long. And started off the show, we got it fixed, and now apparently have lost Mr. Crenshaw. But anyway.
No, I haven't. Right here.
Oh, there you go. Well, don't be saying no, we did. We ain't heard you, man. We
right
lost
here.
You.
We did a little reboot. And now we're back.
Okay. I just say that. Anyway, good morning, Georgia.
Morning.
That's what everybody was waiting for. It's Sam and Greg, 6 a.m. until 10. Be sure to check us out on the radio.com app and all your devices. You know what I forgot to mention? That this is an amateur weekend. And we need to let folks know. Yeah. Something I've been doing for years and years and years on the radio here in Atlanta, not just here, in other places. And Sam's now on board with this. It's there's 8 amateur days / nights of the year, if you've never heard this before. And those are the days or nights that people who don't normally drink and drive, unfortunately, are doing that. And so thus the name Amateur Nights. And you have... Let's go through the course of the year. You got New Year's Eve, of course. You got St. Patrick's Day. You've got Cinco de Mayo. You've got the three summer holidays, Memorial Day, 4th of July, and, of course, today, Labor Day.
Yes.
Then you have – now, this one is going to be interesting this year because I don't know how folks are going to do Halloween, man, with the pandemic. You know what I mean? That's going to look a little different this year. Trick-or-treaters and people coming to the house and all of that stuff. We'll see what happens. But that's normally on the list, Halloween. And then the last one is the one that most people don't normally get. And that is America's only unofficial holiday, Super Bowl Sunday. So those are the 8 days of the year that we call amateur nights. And, of course, this being Labor Day weekend, we want you to be safe on a couple different levels. But just be aware of, you know, there's some folks out there just not paying attention. So... be cognizant of that. The other thing is, before we bring Dylan on and we meet the producer, we need to take a second, Sam, and acknowledge, you know who hits retirement age today? Turns 65?
Who is that?
Waffle House.
Whoa.
Well, the Waffle House turned, actually it was yesterday was the actual day. Waffle House turns 65, man.
That means. That's been around, Waffle House been around that long?
Well, here's the thing. I didn't grow up down here, so I didn't see it that much growing up. The equivalent up north used to be a place, and used to see it on the highway all the damn time, was Stuckey's. I'm saying up north, we had like Denny's, obviously. There wasn't a traditional, I can't think of a traditional other than IHOP, but up north, I never saw a Waffle House. Driving through, not just around Chicago, but even going downstate Illinois. I went downstate.
And I'm a driver. You know what? And you say that, Stuckey's. You realize Stuckey's is from Georgia.
I didn't know that. Well, look at they moved in and they moved into an area before Waffle House did.
But they were out on the highways.
Yeah,
Stuckey's. Remember what are the things you get there?
I get pecan a log.
I got. You get the pecan. They got those pecan logs. They got those things which comes from South Georgia.
Okay, so I believe you.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you.
Yeah, yeah.
There were no Waffle Houses when I was growing up. I didn't see Waffle Houses until I came down south.
We all have Bob Evans. That's a little different. That's a little different. That's a little different than Waffle House. But Bob Evans, which y'all have up north, we don't have Bob Evans down here.
Well, anyway, happy birthday, Waffle House. You turned 65 and you couldn't look better. Just keep Kid Rock out of them. y'all be okay.
Well, now that we've got them all back open, because that was the thing for a while, you know. Like I said, when this whole thing first hit, remember the Saturday morning I was coming down, we were still in the studios, and I said, Greg, it just got real. I saw a dark Waffle House. I said, I don't know what tells you this pandemic is real to you, but living here in Atlanta, to see a Waffle House not open and just dark told me everything. Yeah. So it's glad to see them back open. People going getting a chance to go in. Some are still carry out, but some are now you are able to go in and eat again.
Well, let me let you guys take a glimpse behind the curtain here at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We've had some things happen, as is the case with all radio stations, all companies. Sometimes there's some movement. Things have happened. Nobody got fired per se, but there needed to be some movement within the station this past week. Some seats needed to be shuffled, and so we don't have our normal producer, our regular producer, Jahi Whitehead. That's the reason we haven't done our HBCU update this week, but Jahi may or may not be coming back to sometime soon, but there needed to be some things shuffled around. And so we have got a guy we all know, he hasn't worked with us before, and as we were prepping for the show, we had Dylan on the phone, we again found out that Sam and I are about 4 years older than dirt. Because we make references of music and stuff,
and he's like, huh? What?
I mean, it's crazy. And then there's some other things, too. But we wanted you to meet Dylan and give Dylan a chance to come on the air because, you know, for the longest time around here, the producers couldn't get on the air. But those clouds have passed, and we want to take a chance to
clouds.
Clouds. It was cloudy, and those clouds have passed. Got a clear day around here now, and we wanted you to take a second and just meet Dylan and find out a little bit something about him that, A, we may not have known, but the audience would be interested in hearing. So, Dylan, what's up, man? Well, first of all, welcome. Thank you for your work earlier in the show, too.
Yeah. I got to let the people, you know, clap up. Appreciate y'all. Thank you, everybody, for having me. I just want to say thank y'all, you know. Okay. All right. We can. Applause is good. Okay. Yeah. All right, there we go. You know what I'm saying? They had to get it out, so, you know, I had to let them do that thing. Anyways, I appreciate y'all having me on. We doing all right this morning. We worked through some kinks, and, you know, we should have smooth sails right about now. We got clear skies. I think all the turbulence is gone for the day.
Sam, it sounds like he's wearing a tuxedo, and he's got about 8 good minutes of material. That's what I thought was about to happen. And then he started talking about turbulence. I thought, hey, I just flew in from the coast, and boy, my arm's tired. I was waiting for that sort of thing to happen. Dylan, what do you do? What's your interest when you're not helping us sound good on the radio?
Still sports. So I actually have a podcast and I have a YouTube channel.
Tell him.
So Sam Crenshaw knows Simone Stanley. colleague/significant other. We do a podcast together. It's called Tough Calls. It's on all platforms, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all that good stuff. We've had great guests. Like, we had Ryan Clark, we've had Big Q Douglas, Antoine Bethea, recently just had Darius Butler, we had Brandon Boykin. So we got some good folks on there, and we just had a dude from Pro Football Focus, Ian Hatzitz. So we got some good guests on the pod, and then I also have a YouTube channel, Dylan Matthews, just straight up my name. So got, you know, talking all things sports on there as well. So, you know, I'm doing the same thing y'all are doing.
Yeah, man. Yeah, okay. Man. And a proud product. And we went to the alma mater, Greg.
That's right.
Oh, y'all.
Shout out the West Georgia Wolves one time. That's what I'm talking about, Sam.
Yeah. You know it.
That's all right. It. Well, see, I want you to get it all because I understand you're not going to be with us next week. This is like you're just kind of taking a quick little sabbatical. You're coming to work with us, and then you're going back to your other things. So here's your chance. Anything else you want to promote? While you got the floor.
Let me think. I got any other plugs? Nah. No plugs.
No shameless plugs. No shameless plugs.
No, you sure? Yeah, I think I got all the plugs out I needed to get. We good. But I appreciate y'all.
Okay,
we good.
All right, man, we appreciate you. And again, just thanks for putting up with us in the beginning of the show there, because it was touch and go there for a minute. But anyway, that's our producer Dylan. And again, tell everybody where they can check your stuff out at.
Oh, so again, Tough Calls Podcast on all platforms, of course, on Apple Podcasts, Spotify. You can find me at _ Dylan Matthews on Instagram and Twitter. All that good stuff, and yeah, just, you know, out here living life, talking about sports, and trying to get like Sam and Greg and make this good money.
No, you ain't trying to be like us, because you're making us feel old.
We asked him to put a couple songs
on, and he didn't even know what we were talking about.
Then, music?
And then a theme show that one of the most famous TV shows we were talking about, and he didn't know what we were talking about. So that's okay.
See, the thing about that, though, music is so broad. Like, there's so much to cover, especially when, you know, me and you're young and you got, you know, guys like you have been through the ringer and heard all these, you know, decades of music go by. You know, I'm young. I've only experienced my music. I haven't had a chance to, you know, flip back the books and turn back the pages. And
No, hold. Time out.
Really.
You ain't been over to Auntie House. And thumb through some of the music that auntie has, nothing like that. We all do that when we go over to a relative's house. We check out the music they're listening to, or the music collection. I know you don't have albums hanging out there. That's the thing. As a kid, I would go to somebody's house, I would check out what they had. You know, what they were listening
but
to.
But it ain't even just that, Sam. It's like he watches TV. It ain't like you haven't seen things on TV pre the year you were born. I mean, please, I asked you this earlier. You ever seen The Wizard of Oz?
I have, and I told you I've seen The Wizard of Oz and The Wiz.
Okay, well then that was 1939 and 1978, respectively. So you know some old stuff.
I mean, of course, everybody knows the classics. And I'm saying, like, when I go to my dad's house, we playing Dice, you know, he put on the Love TKO, and he put on, you know, the other old jams like that. So I know a little something. I just don't know everything. I know a good probably like 15%. That's all I can cover right about now. All I can cover is about 15%.
Okay, let's move on here.
I don't know if that's 15%, but go ahead.
God bless you. That's all I got to say.
We're being real charitable that 15%.
Let me do this real quick here. Sam McGregor, Sports Radio, 929thegame.com. Hey, Sam, you know what got me thinking about something? And let's do this throughout the rest of the show here. Right. Watching LeBron and the boys when they played Houston for their first matchup. Right, and Houston won the game. So afterwards, LeBron's talking about the speed of Houston. They had no way of simulating it in their practices. They didn't know it until they got on the court with them. And he used an analogy. He says it was like facing. It's like those teams that faced the Rams of the early 2000s, the greatest show on turf. And so the analogy was understood. But it got me thinking about what was the last team. Since that greatest show on turf, professional team, that got named. They were so great, they put a name next to them. Because that doesn't happen that often. You either get a year. When you're an all-time great team, you get a year or a nickname attached to you.
Yeah.
And I was trying to think. I think since then, the only one that's come up is Seattle, Sonic, the Legions of Boom.
Yeah, okay.
That's probably it. But it got me thinking about other ones. And how many teams have a nickname? They were an all-time great, and see now I can do
that. That Rams team did it because they virtually had a relay team out there.
They had four guys that was basically
a relay team, and nobody else. When you think about that, what other team have four guys that are like, you know, got world-class speed? Basically, mm-hmm. And you got them out there on Sundays. You may have one or two on a team, but to have four out there and you got to try to deal with them, I mean, that's hard, man.
And by the way, you got a Hall of Fame running back there in Marshall Faulk, too.
Yeah, well, he was one of them, too. He's one of them, too.
But he's going to have to wide receiver.
Yeah, but he caught a lot out of the backfield and made it real simple. Made it real simple for a quarterback who went from the Arena League to the Hall of Fame.
All right, so you know, who we got? Who we got as far as teams? Like, okay, they didn't win, but Falcons got the Dirty Birds attached to them. That was nice. They got to the big game. They just didn't win it.
Yeah.
The Dirty Birds got there. But again, it's either a year or a nickname. 27 Yankees, 85 Bears. But I'm just trying to think. Go ahead.
Yankees will always be Bronx Bombers.
Bronx Bombers.
No matter what year. Steel Curtain.
Steel Curtain, Purple People Eaters of the Vikings, the Fearsome Foursome, Legion of Big Red Machine.
Right.
It just got me thinking about nicknames of teams. We Are Family, them 78, them Pirates of the late 70s with Willie Stargell, Pops and all them. The Dream Team, obviously. So anyway, I just got to thinking about, and they should be champions to have this attached to them. Bronx, Broad Street Bullies, Philadelphia. And I'm trying to think, who have I left out here? At 92.9 The Game. Dylan will be able to check it out. Sam and I will be able to look at it, too, see if I'm missing any nicknames. But all-time great teams, they don't have the nicknames the way they used to. Anyway, coming up 8 o'clock hour, we are going to have some, oh, man, college football talk. Chris Mahler is going to join us. Up next, going to dip our toe back into the NBA bubble down in Orlando with Sam and Greg. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.